good afternoon. I'm Tom Lounges. It's time to take a look at the arts. And this week, we've got a true legend joining us, celebrated actor Ed Asner. The seven-time Emmy Award-winning television icon is coming to Northwest Indiana Wednesday, May 3rd. He'll be performing his new one-man comedy stage play, A Man and His Prostate. You heard me right. It's at the Valparaiso Memorial Opera House. Joining me is business director of MOH, Scott McDonald. And we're going to talk to Ed about his career and, of course, about this brand-new stage play he's doing. How do you do 80 minutes about a prostate? We're going to find out. It's all happening when Lou Grant, I mean Ed Asner, joins us. Well, good afternoon to you. I'm Tom Lounge. It's time to take a look at the arts, and today we have got a great show for you. A lot of people know him as Lou Grant, but of course, Ed Asner, veteran actor, has played so many amazing roles, and he's coming to Northwest Indiana to play yet another. A Man and His Prostate comes May 3rd to Valparaiso's Memorial Opera House. We've got Ed joining us in just a few minutes to talk about that. We've also got Scott McDonald, who's the business director and also a professional thespian for many, many years, directing, producing. And
lucky guy.
And you're a part of this this big event.
Very, very excited
Ed
about
Asner.
It. Yeah,
wow.
Very, very excited about it.
Very, very excited. And I'm curious to get Ed on the phone and find out some of this stuff. We've got so much to talk about. I know we're limited on time, but I think we're going to have a great interview. When I first heard about this, I thought, did I get this wrong? Is this press release wrong? A Man and His Prostate.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's kind of like the male equivalent of the vagina monologues.
Yes.
So there we go. Already tongue-tied. So as I said, this is coming to Valparaiso's Memorial Opera House May 3rd. It's a Wednesday night, and it's a fundraiser for the Opera House.
Yes, for the Opera House Foundation, Memorial Opera House Foundation, who does a great job helping us with everything that we do as far as our programming and keeping the building in beautiful shape.
Wow.
So we're over the moon.
Wow. I mean, if you're going to do a fundraiser, go with
big.
The gusto and go big.
Exactly.
Ed Asner's as big as they get. I believe we have him on. Mr. Asner, are you here?
Are you referring to my waist-sized pal?
No, sir.
I don't like lippy fellows.
No, sir. We are talking about six-plus decades in the business, seven Emmys. I mean, you're the most awarded Emmy male actor in TV history. You've got so many amazing accolades, and yet you are still going strong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You started here in Chicago. We're right outside of Chicago, Northwest Indiana, and a lot of people may not realize your roots here at University of Chicago. I believe you were with Second City, Compass Players, Playwrights Theater. You did a little of everything in those early days. Tell us about your Chicago roots and how you came here.
Well, I drove a cab there. I worked in the auto plant at 126th and Torrance. I sold over the phone. Couldn't sell anything. let's see what else I did. Oh, yeah, I worked in Gary.
Wow.
I was a hooker helper.
A hooker helper?
That's what they called me. Now, what do you want to make of that?
I honestly don't know. I'm almost afraid to ask.
You haven't been around, have you?
No, not as a hooker helper.
Hooker helper helps the guy who hooks the big pots up to the crane.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of asexual.
Okay. Speaking of Gary, I had the good fortune to catch you in FDR, and I got to tell you, sir, that was one of the most amazing performances I've ever seen. How you could pull that off when you were talking to the chair and on the phone. I visualized the character sitting
there. Wait a minute. Which performance are you talking about?
I was talking about the FDR when you were here in Gary. And when I saw you in that, and you were commanding that stage, and you're talking to an empty chair, but I'm visualizing a character that you're talking to there to make me believe that and see that. I've never had that experience before, and I'm so...
Really?
No, never. I've never seen anyone do a one-man play quite like that. And
I'm a magician.
And, of course, now you're coming...
I'll make you disappear.
I hope not. Uh-oh. At least not before May 3rd.
No, okay.
Let's talk about A Man and His Prostate. I've got with me Scott McDonald, who is the business director and also a creative guy himself with the Memorial Opera House, where you'll be performing. And Scott is sitting in since he's the one that made this all happen for us in Northwest Indiana. Let's talk about the new production. You and Ed Weinberger, the author of the play, go back a number of years. But still, I've got to think he had to scratch your head when he says, we're going to do an 80-minute stand-up about a man's prostate. What did you think when he approached you, and how did he sell you on this?
Well, I was quite honored because, after all, it is his prostate we're talking about, and that he would trust his prostate to me, verbally that is, I thought was quite an honor, and I vowed not to disgrace his prostate in any way.
Did it take you long to mull this over and say, okay, maybe this is a good idea, or Ed, you've just completely
lost
it?
I don't like to spend a lot of time mulling over his prostate. I find it somewhat distasteful, frankly.
Okay.
But I gave it a reasonable pondering, and it came up a winner.
Now, did you think when you first tested this that it was going to be as successful as it is? You're getting great reviews everywhere you play this.
Well, there's always the ability to trip, and I gave a performance in Fort Lauderdale the other night, and I tripped on that one. So. I'm sure that when I get to Indiana that I will bloom like an orchid.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea it would be as good as it was.
Okay. Well, speaking of tripping, in an ensemble, other actors can cover each other if a line's forgotten or if there is a miscue, but you're up there by yourself without a net. How stressful is that every night?
Well, the material is so funny. I mean, it's a big crutch for me to lean on.
Okay.
It's not stressful. And I did FDR, which had far fewer jokes, let me tell you.
Right, right.
That guy, and I'm a ham bull to begin with. I'll get out there and I'll sing Adeste Fidelis for you and... I think it's an angel singing.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there singing in A Man and His Prostate, or?
No,
singing?
This is maybe I'll follow up in the future with a performance.
With the musical?
It'll be the musical,
yes.
Prostate.
Maybe we'll see what kind of shape the country's in after Donald has left.
After we lose all the funding for the arts.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a story and a radio show unto itself.
Yeah.
What is it, Ed, about a one-man play that appeals to you? This is obviously your second big one in a row.
What is it about it?
Yeah.
What
is it about doing a one-man performance that appeals so much to you that you would do this twice in a row? I mean,
I'm not saying I'd rather do a one-man performance than a two-man performance. But you got to keep busy. I've got to keep my Social Security funded, and I just like to work.
I would
and,
say so.
As I said, when you hear me say "Adeste Fidelis," you'll see how badly I want to work.
Well, like I said in the beginning, you hold the record for most Emmy wins for a male actor. You have received...
Oh, I want to... By the way, I just won the guest performer in Canada on their top trophy show.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that for Michael Every Day?
No, that was for... I played a priest. I forget what the name of the show was. They haven't sent me the award yet. If I had it in hand, I could really rattle it off for you.
All right. How did you get so involved in Canadian TV? Again, Michael Every Day is still going strong, and it's unseen.
I just did a movie for 4 weeks in Canada with a brilliant cast. Anna Paquin, Michael O'Hare, Melissa Leo, Cynthia Nixon. and Reese Irfan. It was a wonderful show.
When will that be coming out?
I don't know. Whenever they sell it, I guess.
Okay. Well, again, you just got the Screen Actors Guild Life Achievement Award a few years back. You're doing all this stuff. You're not resting on your laurels. I've seen you. You're in my living room like three
times.
Have
you ever seen my laurels?
No, I have
yes,
not.
Yes, I have.
Well, you find it. It's not easy to rest on.
It seems like every time I turn on the TV, you're in my living room at least three times a week. The Good Wife, Hawaii 5-0, Criminal Minds, Bones. I mean, you pop up everywhere. Why are you working so hard at this point in life when you should be kicking back and enjoying things?
Because I'm not good for anything else except acting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you surprised to still be getting so many calls that you're in such demand? And I'm talking top TV
shows. I don't
shows.
Get that many calls. I get very lonely here. I need that phone ringing off the hook, and if it's not, then I read the loneliness just swoops in on me.
You do a lot of stage work, as we're talking now, with A Man and His Prostate and FDR, but you're also, as we mentioned, still in front of the camera a lot. You just did that film. You got these TV parts. What is it, which venue do you prefer best, television, film, theater? I mean, is there a preference?
I have to tell you, I like it all. I love voiceover work. I would have fun reading this phone book to you if you paid me.
I will let you do that.
Okay, Scott, get your checkbook out.
Done.
We're going to pay you to do that.
Done.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't be so stingy.
Not a problem at all.
You guys are cheap.
Oh, no. I will gladly get out my checkbook for that.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'm writing it down. You've now committed on air.
That's true.
That's right.
All
right.
I'm a witness. You are so familiar not only with the older folks and with the Gen X's and everybody, but you are now a favorite of kids because of your voiceover work in animation, especially in Up with Pixar films.
Well, it turned out to be such a beautiful film. I didn't know what it was going to be, but my God, it was it's a great pleasure. It took me about three times to see it before I could relax and appreciate it.
Do you do the voice for kids when they come up? Do they know it's you?
I just do my voice. It's no different. Carl is no different than Ed Asner.
Speaking of which,
you can ask my grandkids who live with me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they'll say, yeah, that's Carl.
More often than not, you have been cast as an angry or cranky or a gruff character, a conundrum, if you will. But the word from fellow actors and everything I've ever read about you is you are a real teddy bear, a man with a heart of gold. You're very respected and liked. How do you always wind up playing the gruff guy, the mean guy?
Well, I think that that's an area of our lives, the grumpus. We all have had them and know them, and the people that you're made to fear, and then you finally peer under the corner of the envelope or the sheet or whatever it is, and you find that there's a warm soul there who's just making you get on your toes, that's all.
Okay.
And I think we all have those, be it a relative or be it a parent. You can have a parent who is tough as nails, and you find after you open the can that the nails are soupy.
Speaking tough as nails, there was probably never anyone on television quite as tough as Lou Grant. It's 1970, 1982, between the two series. You played that guy for in the newsroom for 12 years. What was it about Lou Grant, that the character that you love most?
Well, he was... He he's the kind of guy, you know, they, now that's the way the rules are. I said, well, you don't follow him. I said, well, that's because I put in a lot of years here, and I deserve some relenting of severity. I'll come up with the choice words to explain my way out of anything, and I'll have to tell you a very risque story.
Okay.
I'm going to expose myself full time to you.
Excellent.
I was a lad working at Helzberg Jewelry Store in Kansas City, Kansas. And the people I worked with were the janitor, a wonderful African-American fellow named Ralph, and the big, burly Railway Express delivery man who came every day. His name was Rutan. I don't know where he got that name, but that's what it was. Rutan. And one day, Ralph and Rutan were talking, and he says, yeah, Ralph says, he says, yeah, right in the middle of the hand. And I was standing nearby. I said, what did you just say? Ralph said, well, that's the hand that you masturbate with. Are you listening to me?
Yes. Hanging on.
Are you laughing
word.
Or listening?
We're both. Listening.
All right.
I'm listening.
The hand that you masturbate with has a hair in the middle of it for some reason. And I, like the naive teenager I was, threw down my broom and looked at my palm of my right hand, and I said, no, there is not, and I exposed myself, of course.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, Macy, now, that was a kind of a toughening process used by those two bums, and I learned it, and I enjoyed it, and I loved the trickery.
Wow.
And, of course, I was exposed.
Mm-hmm. And so
did you look at your right hand when I said that?
I did not.
I did not either.
I looked at my left.
Exactly.
You left it. Good on you, man. You belong to the club.
You got to say, you know, Luke Grant is one of those timeless characters right up there with Archie Bunker that has just immortalized himself in television. Do you get tired of the fact that people still know you as Lou Grant, even though you've done so many
movies? No. I resolved that a long time ago.
Okay.
At the time, people would ask me, he was an honorable man, and it could have been Benedict Arnold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Judas is scary.
The one thing I remember most about Lou Grant is that Lou Grant does not like spunk.
That's right.
So, yeah, and that bothers me more than anything, because naturally, anybody in his right mind would love spunk.
Mm-hmm.
I hate being the author of that line.
We've lost so many great talents the last couple of years. Three alone close to you, William Shelley, Patty Duke, Mary Tyler Moore, William and Patty, both former SAG presidents along with yourself. And whenever we lose friends, it reminds us of our own mortality. And at this point, how do you reflect on your legacy? Are you pleased with what you've got? Is that why you're working so hard to continue these challenging roles and live life to the fullest?
No, I owe money. I owe money. I got to pay off some debts. And then try to leave my kids something with what's left. But I would say 95% of the day, I look around me and I mean, it's a stupid assessment, but I look around me and feel I'll live forever.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the 5% where the mortality creeps in, and you take another assessment.
What? Let's talk.
Hello, did I stun you with that?
You did.
Yeah,
you did.
That, why?
I don't know. That was just a. It was so. It was such a. I don't know. An honest
answer.
It was profound. Yeah.
Profound.
Very profound.
Are you crazy?
Maybe a little.
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I heard that you're performing A Man and His Prostate, not just across America, but you might be taking it worldwide. How long of a run are you looking, and what areas are you planning to tour in?
Well, we're going to South Carolina. We're going to Indiana, of course. New York, outside the city. Hang on a second, will
sure
you?
Thing. Wow, this is so cool.
This is very cool. This
live
is like
radio with Ed Asner.
Dreams come true.
It is. It's just amazing. Wonderful
Much
stuff.
Better.
There we go.
No plans to take it over the water.
Okay.
Although if I'm asked, I'll certainly jump to it.
Sure.
There are prostates everywhere.
Yeah.
It is a global topic.
It is.
It is a global topic.
It is. I refer to it as the male response to the vagina monologue.
I was just telling Scott that before we got you on the phone. This is kind of like the yin and the yang. Ed Weinberger has won Emmys for his writing, starting out with Johnny Carson, Dean Martin, and, of course, hit shows like The Cosby Show. He's won so many Emmys. How did you and he first meet? Because you guys have a long history.
Yeah, well, he came onto the Mary Tyler Moore Show as a writer-producer.
I didn't realize that he was
either.
Tied to that.
Yeah. And shortly after he came on, I was asked to do the Johnny Carson Show, my first. And as I usually do, I had no plans as to what I was going to say or what I was going to do. And Ed saw it all, and he's, no, you've got to be prepared here, you've got to be prepared there. So he had me working. I said I had taken a ballet training at one point, as silly as it sounds. And, just to work out kind of.
Sure.
And I learned some, plies and tour jetés and stuff like that. So I said, you got to work on that. You'll get Ed and Johnny, and you'll work with them. Well, he got me so hyped up on doing this and doing that and doing this. It was the stinkiest performance I've ever given on a talk show.
Wow.
And I've hated Ed Weinberg ever since, so I determined to take his one-man opus and ruin it.
Aside from the comedy aspects, the underlying message is that prostate health is something men should take serious. And by the end of the play...
Well, there are a lot of facts in my show that I talk about. I mean, it's a very serious show when it doesn't have you laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So by the end of the play, hopefully you're going to drive some men to the doctor.
Pardon? I can't hear you.
I said hopefully by the end of the play, you'll be driving some of the men in the audience to the doctor. Not physically, of course, but making them realize that they need to go and get this taken care of.
Well, when they hear me say that every 16 minutes a man dies in the United States from prostate cancer.
Wow.
Those are some scary figures.
Wow.
So... It makes you sit up.
Yeah. And the thing is prostate cancer is one of the most curable if you find it out, correct?
And in many cases, if you got a decent doctor, he may find that it doesn't pay to open you up and shave it or take it out. That it's so slow growing. That you'll probably die of something else before it gets you.
Wow,
that's something else. We were talking about how you have been awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award from Screen Actors Guild. That was a few years ago, and you clearly have much more life and gusto still going ahead. What was it like to get a Lifetime Achievement Award at that point in your life, and you said, "Hey, I'm not even close to retiring."
I guess I kept thinking, Well, I ain't dead yet.
A couple more quick questions. We'll let you go, Ed. And that is, for a number of years, you were very, very involved with SAG. You were the president. And the thing is we've seen this year, especially Hollywood take on Washington in so many of the award shows, the statements. You yourself have been very outspoken in many cases over the years, supporting the unions and things. Do you have any comments on the state of things today?
Well, I think unionism has, in this age of Trumpism, that unionism naturally has taken a back seat. It has for a good while now. There's been very little of that all for one, one for all feeling going with unionism and with our cooperativeness with each other.
Okay.
It's an ideal state. Just as there was a huge campaign in this country from its inception against communism, the big ugly black bear of communism, and then a lot of that has also been lodged against unionism. Even though Indiana has a great record of, with its harboring of Debs, its honoring of Debs, in its contribution to unionism. And if we had courses in school teaching people what they're supposed to mean, unionism, communism, whatever you want to call it, socialism. That's why I was so gratified that Bernie ran as a democratic socialist. Because there's been such a bugaboo in our country on the word socialist.
It's just socialism. The terminology.
Yeah. Run scared.
Right.
And if you just sat it down and examined it, first of all, most people probably don't even recognize the fact that Hitler's party was the so-called socialist party.
Right.
So the terminology is so confusing. I would always caution people before they go off panicking, sit down and examine what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
One last question, and that is, as we said, over six decades now, you've been at the peak of your craft. What inspired you to become an actor? You were talking about working at Helzberg Jewelers and being the hooker's assistant in the mills. how do you go from that to being a top actor and staying dedicated? And I know that we mentioned the Playwrights Theater and Second City and some of those groups were a springboard for you, but how did you transition from the workforce to acting?
Well, I was in the workforce while I was still planning to be an actor. Acting to me was therapy and an escape. And it is a wonderful escape. Realize you got to rein it in and make it a job. Do the job. I think acting, particularly for lawyers, is a necessity. And every lawyer should have to take acting classes.
Okay.
Because he's got to.
Right.
And in many ways, just in terms of public speaking, in terms of appearing to the public, no matter what you do, being Lou Grant, he could use acting lessons. Because you have to talk to people.
Sure.
And you have to convince people. And any deal whereby you have to convince people and talk to people, acting comes in. In my case, it
provided the therapy and the escape.
Last,
and I'll be grateful to it for the rest of my days.
Last question, and that is taking us back to Mary Tyler Moore Show again. What a great ensemble cast. I don't think you could handpick better actors and actresses for those roles. Betty White still with us, going strong like yourself. As you look back on that, do you have any thoughts about the talents that you guys had, and did you know the magic was being made when it was being made?
There was a distraction here. What was the last part?
I said, did you realize when all of you were together, this great ensemble cast with Valerie Harper and Betty White and Gavin and Ted, did you realize how magical it was at the time that you were doing it?
Yeah, I did. I did. I can remember standing in the wings with Ted and Gavin the second year of the show. I just won my first Emmy on the show. As they played the theme song, we began to tape the show, and I turned to the guy and said, "Boy, I could die happy now."
Wow.
Both of them almost simultaneously said, "Hey, not so fast, pal. We got to win ours."
Sure.
And of course, you went on to win four more.
Four more.
Yeah, yeah. And once Ted got over his paranoia, then he began to collect a few himself.
Wow. Is there anything we haven't touched on? I know you've got another interview to do a little later here, and we're going to let you go to get some water.
Venereal disease.
Venereal disease.
You want to touch on venereal disease?
I, not would have never undergone any treatment for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we will see you Wednesday, May 3rd, Memorial Opera House, Valparaiso, Indiana. A man in his
I'm sorry, the housekeeper just slipped on the floor.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Memorial Opera House, but it's a 124-year-old venue built by the Civil War veterans.
Well, it'd be nice to be in a building younger, younger than me.
Beulah Bondi started her career there.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was one of the
good actors.
She was one of the very first that strode the boards there. And Marx Brothers played there. John Philip Sousa played there. And I think FDR actually did a speaking engagement.
Teddy
did a speaking engagement there.
Well, I will bow to the gods of the past before I go on.
All right.
We're so excited to have you.
We are.
We're very, very
We're
excited
thrilled.
To have you.
So
I'm delighted to be there.
This is a fundraiser for this great lady theater, too. I mean, that I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but you're helping to keep this great theater going for us. So kudos to you.
Oh, I'm delighted.
Thank you.
I'm delighted.
We'll see you May 3rd. Be safe, travel safe, and God bless you.
You run a good show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Saying goodbye to Ed Asner. Don't forget, Memorial Opera House is where you'll see him. Scott McDonald, stay with
us. Bye.
Bye,
see
Ed.
See you, Mr. Asner.
Thanks.
Gotta love the theme from Lou Grant.
Absolutely.
For those youngins out there that might not remember that. How cool.
That was really cool.
Ed Asner.
That was really,
cracking jokes.
Really cool.
And talking about his right hand. That came out of left field. I got to tell you. The guy is as sharp as a tack.
Oh, man.
84 years old. Still.
I can't wait to meet him.
Blows
now.
My mind.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him perform on stage?
I haven't had that fortune.
When I saw him on FDR, when I saw him do that in Gary, it took my breath away.
Yeah.
I have never seen anyone do a one-man play other than Spalding Gray, who could actually pull it off.
Sure.
You know, where you actually believed that he was in a room with people, and he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
And if he did, we didn't know.
Right.
You know,
right.
He was magical.
I'm sure this will be just as good, if not even better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to bring him in.
You know, he's done so many things. We just touched on it. He's been in Outer Limits,
yeah.
Gunsmoke, Wild Wild West, Ironside, Mission Impossible, 77 Sunset yeah. Strip. I mean,
he's in my living room more than I am.
I know. He's on MeTV every yeah. time you turn around.
I know.
Too.
It's incredible. It's really, really incredible just how prolific his career has been and that it keeps going.
A lot of people don't realize he was part of the two. Is Zed still there?
No.
That was just what are you doing, Dan? Putting voices in my head?
Yeah. He has an iconic voice.
And he does.
He has some voiceover tracks
here. Do that
here.
Again.
He's been in so many cartoons. Hold on. Let me get it back.
He has been in cartoons. He was in Up.
Yep.
He also played the voice of J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man.
Yes.
He played in Batman, the animated series.
Yeah. He's done so many things, and I think people just don't even realize how much he's there.
And two of the big series of the 70s that I grew up with as a teenager, Roots and mm-hmm. Rich Man, Poor Man. He was a key figure in both yeah. of those. I mean, how do you not know who Ed Asner is?
Right.
Here
exactly.
it is. I think this will give listeners a better idea of his, because it's hard to hear a voice when it's through a phone, mm-hmm. but they'll definitely recognize.
Hi, I'm Ed Asner.
Hi. Yeah, nice. He's a very smooth... acting voice.
Yeah.
And he did so much for SAG, which, of course, Screen Actors Guild.
Yep.
He pulled it all together. He was very outspoken.
Yes.
And defended so many things with contracting.
Absolutely. And with the unions and all of it. I mean,
the studios owned people's souls. And yeah. through Ed and some of his contemporaries, again, Patty Duke, William Schallert, William was before him, Patty was after him. The three of them, those three consecutive terms, did probably more for Screen Actors than
absolutely.
Any other era.
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yeah. And that whole attitude of one for all and the cooperation and all mm-hmm. that, that's what everything that we focus on at the Opera House is all about.
Speaking of the Opera House, this event, this A Man and His Prostate with Ed Asner mm-hmm. on May 3rd, I'm sorry, is benefiting, like we told Ed.
Yes.
It's helping keep this great theater alive and well.
Absolutely.
How does it help? Tell us what it does.
The event is a fundraiser for Memorial Opera House Foundation, and Memorial Opera House Foundation's mission is to provide opportunities to the community to support our venue. Mm-hmm. And so by bringing this in, we're able to keep our doors open for more years to come, to continue doing the great programming that we do, to upgrade all the technology that we have, to any number of things that you could kind of throw spaghetti at the wall and say, mm-hmm. we need funds for this. This event helps with that. So mm-hmm. whether it be bringing in new window treatments, painting the lobby, we just had the auditorium
right.
painted because of, you know, the generosity of the commissioners and the county council. Anything that we can do to take the burden off of the county and the taxpayers and really bring it in from the foundation and from other sources, that's what things like this are for. So.
And there's been so much, not just the cosmetics, but also the technology as well has
my
been
gosh.
Enhanced.
It's incredible. You know, I say this every time that I come, Stretch has more toys than anybody I know, and it's just so exciting to see all the things that we can do. And I see a lot of theater at a lot of different venues, and I have that good fortune of being able to travel to see things on Broadway or in Chicago or New Jersey, even at the Paper Mill Playhouse. And I come back with all these ideas. I'm like, Stretch, I just saw this, and we've got to figure out how to make this happen mm-hmm. here.
So,
and he never tells me no, which he's in no jeopardy if he does.
Right.
But, you know, he says, we'll figure out how to make this work. And I you'd be damned if he doesn't, you know.
And you said that Ed's not very demanding. Ed Asner, his rider is very easy.
Very simple. It's a video screen and a stool and a general wash of lights. So lights on and away he'll go. So we're really, really excited.
Now, he's only here for one night.
One night only.
So this is not an extended run performance.
Not at all.
You have to go see him.
Yep.
Again,
it's in the middle of a run of another show. So it's what worked for us schedule wise. And
a Wednesday night. That's an odd night.
A little happy hour, you know? It's a little happy hour sort of a thing. So,
what time does it start?
Actually, doors open up at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And we are also offering a private meet and greet beforehand.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah,
you signed me up right now, brother.
You got it. Rich Ferlazzo, who runs Valpo Shrimp Company, is doing some special appetizers. We have Perea involved right across the street, one of the mm-hmm. restaurants right across the street.
So is there like a dinner theater option?
There's going to be past hors d'oeuvres, and we'll okay. have cash bar open and all of that. So we're very, very excited. And we have HealthLink as one of our sponsors,
okay.
which is fantastic.
So are they going to have prostate paraphernalia out there?
I'm not sure.
Pamphlets, puppets. Perhaps. Yeah, puppets. This is your prostate.
This is your prostate.
This is your prostate when he gets big.
Exactly. Yikes. HealthLink is on board to help out. And it's great because March is actually National Colon Awareness Month.
Wow.
So
very related.
Yeah, very, very related. All in the same neighborhood.
Yep.
So... So, we're really, really happy to have them on board, and they're really doing a great job promoting it to their patients and getting more people in the door. So we're looking at a house that's filling up very quickly right now. So mm-hmm. every day they're getting calls in the box office, and tickets are in high demand. So we're really
excited. So you don't
really
delay.
Excited. Not at all. I wouldn't wait until the last minute because I think this thing's going to go.
I think as soon as I heard they went on sale, I got tickets.
Yeah, I know.
And I got mine
first...
right near the front.
I know.
I wasn't blowing smoke up Ed's prostate.
Prostate.
when I said that seeing him in FDR... literally made me open my wallet. You could have charged me triple,
yeah.
Scott, and I would have paid it.
Absolutely.
Because he's that good.
Yeah.
And he's 84 years old. I don't know how many opportunities we're going to have
exactly.
to see this genius.
This is one
on
of those
stage.
Once-in-a-lifetime sort of opportunities, so I hope people take it because, talking to his agent and all that, they're like, oh, yeah, you guys are totally on track with ticket prices and mm-hmm. all of that. So we're really, really excited about this. And
now, is the meet and greet before or after the performance?
Before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, is he leaving immediately after that?
I think he'll probably, maybe hang out for a few minutes, but okay. I don't think he's going to be doing another show in our area because I think he heads to Illinois okay. the next day. For another theater, same sort of thing, fundraiser, and he's hitting the road,
yeah.
and we're really, really happy to be able to host him.
It's funny that that he knew Beulah.
I know, I know, because so many people
that
say
don't
Beulah
know,
Bondi. Like,
Beulah Bondi played Jimmy Stewart's mom in It's a Wonderful Life. That's her most famous role, Mr. Smith.
Yep.
And here is Ed going like, wow,
yeah.
I knew her.
Yeah.
She was great. So again, Screen Actors Guild president. Yeah, I guess you know everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's part of it. And just so, so cool.
And Dan, were you a big fan? Were you familiar with Ed Asner as far as Lou Grant or Mary Tyler Moore?
You know,
you're young.
Yeah, I'm really not, honestly. I learned a lot about who he is. I'm familiar with the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Sure.
Wasn't very... knowledgeable on Lou Grant. Actually, I knew nothing about that show. Something I
ran
do like a
almost
lot
almost as long as Mary
almost.
Tyler Moore.
Really,
yeah.
As a spinoff. Yeah.
I'm into all those old shows. I'm surprised it's actually something that I didn't watch as a kid because
yeah.
my parents used to show me a lot of those. So I'll have to check it out.
I don't know if Lou Grant is actually in repeat right now. I know Mary Tyler Moore has been rebooted.
Oh
since
yeah,
Mary
yeah,
passed,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
Well,
but,
very interesting guy. And what struck me is he has. Such a spark and a wit.
Oh, man.
That's so good. He's constantly cracking these
yep.
jokes.
I wasn't entirely sure when he was serious and not serious.
I know.
Yeah, he's sitting there talking with you, and he's like, well, you ask him, is there anything else you'd like to touch on that we haven't? He said, venereal
disease.
Yeah. Why not touch
okay.
on that? Sure.
That's his next play, I think.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, maybe it is.
A Man in VD.
Yes.
The
Chlamydia
course.
Chronicles. Yeah.
Oh, you got a lot of good stuff that you guys can start.
Yeah, exactly.
Building
so
at the
whole
theater.
Line.
Right. It's the healthcare series. One of the things too is the fact that like I said, he's in the movie Up. He
yeah.
plays the
Carl.
Carl. Yeah. The kids. I mean, not that you would want to bring the kids to this show because it's a little bit
right.
a little more racy.
Yeah, a little racy. But the fact that your grandkids and your
yeah.
kids know who yeah. Lou
know the voice.
Ed Asner, know the
yeah.
voice. And like I said, he was in Spider-Man in the 90s mm-hmm. and Batman the Animated Series, and he's done so many animated shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we could talk the entire hour and list the shows he was in, and it would take the whole hour.
We got to talk for at least 10 more minutes.
Well, okay. Let's start.
Well, like I said, I remember him as a kid watching him, and I didn't know who he was. It was way before Mary Tyler Moore, and he became really famous. He was a character actor.
Yeah.
And it seemed like The Untouchables, Outer Limits, all these different shows, he always played either a gangster
right.
or a badass detective.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like, he was always going to get his man. And he had the fedora, and he had that snarl.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yet, he is so nice. And like I said, he always plays this grumpy conundrum, this nasty man. But even with Lou Grant, if you watch Lou Grant, you see the soft side.
The soupy nails.
Yeah. There's a little heart.
I like
in
that
there.
Term, soupy nails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see that. And the last episode of Mary Tyler Moore, where they have that huge group hug, and he's like, okay, we got to leave. And they all, you know, in their group walk out the door. You do see those moments with him. And
that even came through in the pilot. If you remember the pilot, his wife was gone.
Yep.
And he was she's thinking, Mary Tyler Moore is thinking he's hitting on her.
Right. Oh.
You know, because he's kind of leading up in like office improprieties.
Yeah.
And he shows up at her door drunk. And, Lou Grant. And he comes in, and it's just because he's drowning his sorrows. His wife has left, and he loves his wife, and he hasn't been away from her.
Yeah.
And he sits down at her typewriter and types a love note. And it's just, you see this guy, and you're thinking, wow, this is the first episode. We don't know Lou Grant.
Who the heck is this guy?
Wow,
yeah.
You know, we don't know Mary. We don't know the characters yet. And he comes off this whole show leading up to the end where he's like, oh, man, he's a real, you know, piece of work here.
Sure.
And he turns out to be this huge teddy bear. Hmm. And at that moment, you love Lou Grant.
Yeah.
And no matter what irritating things he does, how much he yells, you know that's inside of him.
I'm sorry to digress like this, but so Mary Tyler Moore came first, and then the Lou Grant show came after. It was a spinoff about Lou Grant specifically. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And Valerie Harper,
Rhoda,
Ted Knight.
Phyllis,
they all had spinoffs. They all had spinoffs.
Now, that show was, I know it's such a groundbreaking thing that you could, it's kind of similar to what, like, the Breaking Bad. They have Better Call Saul now, and there's going to be talk of more. So.
I have never seen Breaking Bad.
Really?
No.
Neither have I. I've
I
heard,
haven't.
My dad says it's the best show he's ever seen.
Yeah,
everybody
I haven't seen
tells
it
me. You haven't either?
Mm-mm.
Well, I don't feel
we
so
need a club.
Alone now.
We should all get together. And I know it's on Netflix now. We could watch a nice.
We need to binge.
Binge some Breaking Bad.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
I need to catch up on my Ed Asner, my Lou Grant, and my Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
So we got some projects to work on the
we
next,
do.
Next
coming
2 months.
Months. Yeah.
We do. Lots of stuff.
Or if you're like me and binge watching a week.
Right.
I didn't start binge watching until just recently. I got to say, I like it that you can go on and just like sit up all night.
It can
it's
be
great.
It's amazing, but it can be, for me, it can be a problem. That's actually why I haven't started watching Breaking Bad.
Because
it'll be like 2-3 weeks and I'll just not do anything. And
Zombie
watching episode after episode. It could be dangerous.
Yeah. You know, I meant to ask him, and it wasn't that big a deal probably in his career, but I remember it being very cool. I'm a big fan of Hawaii Five-0, both the original with McGarrett and the new McGarrett. I didn't think I'd like the new one, but I honestly had to suck it up and say it is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But Ed Asner was on both as the same character, August March.
Oh, that's...
And he reprised his role that he played in 75 on the original with the new one.
Who does that?
That's
like all I can think of, and this is what's his name, who played Q with the Bond movies. But other than that, no one does that.
He came out and played this this art smuggler named August March, and he came out of retirement, so supposedly as an art guy, on the new Hawaii Five-0.
Was he introduced? So he was,
he was introduced to the same character.
Just played the same character without acknowledging the fact that there was another. Wow, weird.
But a lot of people that might watch the new Hawaii Five-0 would not realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a chance, I mean, they're so different. The shows are so different, but the character names are the same, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Guys playing girl roles, girls playing guy roles, you know.
Sure.
Skinny guys playing fat guys. I mean, it's really bizarre how they've just mashed it all up. But the one constant, Ed Asner.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah, exciting.
It is. It is. I've never seen the new Hawaii Five-0 either, Tom.
Oh, dude.
I know. I'm just
you
like.
You have to watch
television.
That is good TV.
Good
TV. How
can
you not like James Caan's kid, Scott Caan?
Right.
He's so much like his old man.
Yeah.
Really?
You know? He's just bad. I love him. Memorial Opera House is where mm-hmm. Ed's going to be. And again, that is May 3rd. It's a Wednesday night.
Yep.
How do they get tickets, Scott?
They can either call the box office at 219-548-9137. Talk to Stacy, talk to Ray, talk to Jen. Mm-hmm. They will take good care of you. They can also get them online at memorialoperahouse.com. And we are also accepting sponsorships. If anybody's interested in doing that, they can call the box office.
What does that mean,
sponsorships? Sponsorships for the event. There are sponsor seats available. For instance, if you have a group of 15 people that want to come see the mm-hmm. show, we can set you up with a sponsorship in the balcony.
Wow.
And it's, you know.
So you all sit together?
Yeah. $5,000 for 15 seats.
Wow.
And you get, you know, open bar upstairs in the private lounge, especially appetizers,
cool.
all of that.
Meet and greet with Ed.
Meet and greet with Ed. So HealthLink is actually...
My tickets were not that much, by the way. They don't pay us that much.
No, unfortunately. Mine aren't either. But and we have the $1,000 sponsorship levels and all that. So, you know, we're still seeking sponsors for the event. There's plenty of opportunities available.
MemorialOperaHouse.com.
Yep.
And all the details are there.
All the details are there under our events page. So
that'd be such a fun way to see a show, to be
Absolutely.
Able to like get the appetizers and
yeah.
sit there and have a few drinks and watch
yeah.
a show that's
get to
be
meet them before
hilarious.
The show.
Yeah.
I think that's
so
really cool.
Cool.
I think it's a really, really great opportunity.
He's 84 years old, and
exactly.
I can't get my head around the fact that he is working so much. Like I said, he's in every mm-hmm. new TV show. He's still got a series in Canada that
yeah.
he's a regular on.
He just filmed a movie
mm-hmm. that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And he's doing the stage play that's going to take him around the country as
yeah.
a one-man show, which means a lot of memorization, a lot of activity, a lot of touring,
a lot of
traveling.
Flying,
that
a lot,
is, yeah.
that
not,
is a lot.
That is not easy for someone my age who's
right?
done that, sitting in a van for 15 hours a day. You know, it's
yeah.
not
yeah.
the most enjoyable thing. So
now the story, A Man Is Prostate, takes place in Italy, and it's actually a true story on Ed Weinberg.
Yep.
Ed Weinberger, as we mentioned, was a writer and producer and director of many hit series, including The Cosby Show, for which he won many Emmys. It's a true story. He wrote it.
Yeah.
He went to the hospital. They didn't speak English. He was having all these problems. He could have died.
Yeah.
But instead, he turned it around and made lemonade out of the lemon and sold it to Ed to do. The whole basis of this play is just blows my mind.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's take this near-death experience in a weird country and
make it as funny as we possibly can.
Yeah, but yet have an underlying serious note that people will get out of their seats and call their doctor the next
yeah.
day.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, some of the best comedy has a lot of that darkness in it.
Yeah.
So this is there. It's a
Well, going back
cool.
to All in the Family and Archie Bunker.
Oh, yeah.
Same kind of character.
Sure.
Yep.
Mean son of a gun, you know, cruel and outspoken and,
yep.
you know, racist and all that. But at the end of the day, he was a teddy
just
bear.
Just a good guy.
And a good guy that just meant well.
Yep.
So let me ask you, Scott,
yep.
Since you are an entertainer and you've been a director and you run the business end and things, last question here, and that is going to be, at 84 years old, do you see yourself doing this?
You know, I can only hope. I can only hope that I have that much energy, that I have that much, you know, for lack of a better word, spunk.
I like that he feels bad about that
line. I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I can only hope that I have enough energy to be able to get up out of bed every day and do something that I love
mm-hmm.
at 84 years old. And if I'm lucky enough to still be around at 84,
right.
I'll take it.
All right. And I'll sponsor you.
Thanks.
But I get free shrimp.
You got a deal.
That's the deal.
Ooh. You got a deal.
For those that might not catch the whole spunk reference, there is a scene in Mary Tyler Moore where she's interviewing with Lou Grant,
yep.
and he's talking to her. And at one point he goes, "So, do you have a lot of spunk?" And she goes, "Oh, yes, sir. I have so much spunk." And he goes,
I don't like spunk.
It just deflates her. You see her all just sunshine.
Crushed.
And she's crushed right there.
I've actually seen that clip before. That's like one of the famous lines.
Oh, yeah.
I think when she passed, they showed that a lot.
Yeah. That so. And the funeral with the clown. They
yeah.
showed that clip a lot, too, after she passed. And
yeah. There's nobody left, really. Betty White and
yep.
Ed. And
yeah.
that's it.
Well, Georgia Engel's still working, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So...
All right. Well, again, let's give that website.
That's memorialoperahouse.com. And if you go to the events tab, you can get tickets there, or you can call the box office at 548-9137.
One night only, Wednesday,
yep.
May 3rd. The legend himself, Ed Asner, and a man with his prostate.
Yes.